kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Calling our teaching today, Occupy Until He Comes. Occupy Until He Comes. And we're going to base this from something familiar, you know, in Luke 19, chapter 19 and verse 13. And here the Lord says to the disciples, in verse 13, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. And there he's showing what we are to do to be prosperous.
Thank you.
To glorify the Lord, to give him the glory and all the honor and all that he gives us. All he blesses us with, and all that he's equipped us and empowered us. And he says, be productive, go forth, multiply. That is spiritually. Of course, they were probably thinking that Jesus was coming to establish the kingdom on earth. But of course, his people have rejected him, his kingdom. So it's put temporarily to one side. Israel, sadly, is blinded until God opens her eyes. But does it mean to say that we sit about and mope and gripe and, well, what's gone wrong? Not at all. It means that we continue to proclaim the kingdom of God and what it pertains. And that is why the Lord gave the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But for this to happen, the Lord has to preserve. You see, if God doesn't preserve, there'll be no productivity. There'll be no multiplying. There'll be no gospel. There'll be no saints being saved and brought into the kingdom of God. So we have to remember, in light of what the Lord says here in Luke 19:13, that God also preserves in order for this to happen. And I want us to look a little bit today about preservation, the doctrine of preservation. It's not always something that is taught these days. We just think it all happens and so on. But we're going to see the sovereignty and the mighty power of God, how he preserves. I tend to think also preservation is like God who applies the brakes. Because otherwise it's a head-on collision, a fatal accident. And we're told in Psalm 31 and verse 23, Psalm 31 and verse 23, he says, O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. So he tells us he preserves the faithful. Now, why is it he preserves the faithful? Because it is the faithful who endure to the end. I know I make much of that, but that is a clear sign that you walk with God and that God's hand is upon your life, because you are staying with it, and because you stay with it through thick and thin, whatever the enemy tries to throw on us, and he does, it is a sign we are preserved by God. Amen. Now you can have faith in that preservation, no matter what it looks like, whatever your circumstances appear. I thank God according to his word, I am preserved by the mighty power of God. And that's why this is so important to talk about this in light of occupying until he comes. So he not only preserves, but he preserves us in order that we will be fruitful. Now, we already said occupy till he comes, and that's one of the things that we do. We are fruitful. Because how will the world know otherwise if we're not fruitful beings preserved by God? And he says in John 15 and verse 16, John 15 and verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, there is something there that tells us an awful lot about our prayers of faith, believing, and that God gives according to his word. Now listen to what he says again. You may never have thought this. You know, God's all the while revealing more and more of the hidden secrets that are in his word. You did not choose me. So there is God presenting his sovereignty. He is God, and nobody can tell him. But I chose you. Not only have I chosen you, but I have appointed you. For what? That you should go and bear fruit. So I have not only chosen you, God says, but I have also appointed you that you will be fruitful. Amen. And like any vine, it has to be trimmed in order for more fruit to come. So he says, I've appointed you so that you will yield and that I will prune you in seasons for the purpose that you may occupy until I come. You will be working in the vineyard. You are going to allow me to use you as a mouthpiece, to speak my word, to share the good news of the gospel, to preach the word, to help the destitute, to help those who are going through trial and tribulations, to encourage, to exhort, and so forth. That's what he means here, but it doesn't stop. He says that you will be fruitful and that your fruit should remain. Here's the enduring, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. You will not have any guarantee in asking your Father in prayer, in faith, believing the promises of God's word, unless you stay with it, unless you remain. What will be the point of giving something to someone if they're not going to remain? Now you think about it. You're going to make out your will. You aren't going to make your will out to somebody who's going to walk away, or is not going to remain, or is even going to be dead. You don't make your will out to somebody who's dead. You wished you'd made a will out or given part of your will to someone or aunt and an uncle, but unfortunately, I can't give what I wanted to give to them because they no longer exist. Are you getting the message now? God has a will, and we are partakers of that will. Amen. Your name is in that will, and he says you are only going to partake of that will if you endure. I can't give you your prayers. I can't answer your prayers if you're not going to stay. You're going to run off. You're not going to endure to the end. And there is what that verse says. I'm pretty certain you have never seen it in that light. I hadn't up until now, as the Spirit has revealed this to us. And there we are. So that is why we occupy until he comes. And that's why we do what God tells us and we come together like this to meet, because he says where two or three gather together, there am I in the midst. This is why these faithful saints come online every week, because these are all signs that God has chosen us from the foundation of the world. So everything that God chooses, he has to preserve. And I'm really seeing the preservation of God's hand at work. I know I say this, but I will say this again in passing. This assembly should never work in the natural. We're all too far away. We've got brothers and sisters right over the other side of the world. We're not near together. We have to travel for an hour or so to get together. What does this indicate? It indicates God has preserved. Amen. This is the hand of God. Amen. And I marvel at this. I take great comfort in this, that this is God who's called us from the foundation of the world. Well, if you're still not convinced, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are preserved. We are a royal priesthood. We are chosen to proclaim. This is what God has done with me. This rebellious person who wanted to do it my way, who lived in sin, rebellion, and so forth. That is our proclamation. He preserves us as lights in this world. That's how God does it. And he says, you are a priesthood. You wouldn't have been able to have said that under the Old Testament. You wouldn't. You had to be chosen. It was the Levitical priesthood. But he says now that priesthood is now shared with the saints of God. And he says that we are a holy nation. The holy nation that was under the Old Testament was Israel. Israel at present isn't holy. There's only a remnant that is saved. But she will become holy and separate again, because of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, that God made covenants. That's why. He says, you're my own special people, that peculiar treasure, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And there's the mind and wisdom of God, that through Israel's failure, the Gentiles have been grafted in. All of this speaks of preservation, being preserved, being kept, because nothing will stand otherwise. We're told even in Jeremiah 1:5, he tells us that before we were born, he knew us in the womb. What does that speak of? Preservation. Because otherwise the devil would have destroyed you at birth. Or he would have had you aborted. So you had to be preserved. You had to be kept. for God's glory. And we're preserved to be a holy, set apart, called out people. What does Ephesians tell us when Paul opens up with that wonderful book in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 to 4? Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 to 4, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love." And then it goes on how he's predestined us and so on. So he's blessed us, preserved us for every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Your blessings start first in heaven. They are spiritual. And that is where they are first. That is where they are birthed. That is what God gives to us. Then those spiritual blessings that are in heaven come through us. This is just a taste of the spiritual blessings that we have in heaven, where we meet together in God's presence under the anointing, where he speaks to us, he shares with us, he fellowships with us, and so on. Because it's established in heaven. So everything you are believing for, all the promises that you stand on God's word, is established in heaven first. And that's why we can boldly say, "I am healed in Jesus' name. I am delivered in Jesus' name. I am made whole in Jesus' name. I have a sound mind and thinking in Jesus' name. And even in my old age, he renews my youth like the eagles in Jesus' name." Why? Because it is established in heaven. And that's why Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as..." What? In heaven. Exactly what we're talking about here. This is why you can proclaim this. And God is preserving you and I in order for this to be accomplished for his glory. Brothers and sisters, we can't go wrong in this. We've got to stop listening to the devil. Because he's a liar. He's a thief. And he's always going to twist the word of God in our mind and thinking. That's how he works. I tell you, he's more scared of this. He's absolutely terrified when we open up the word of God like this in faith. He is. You see, we're preserved to reveal God's choice. This is why we're preserved. We're preserved because God says, "This is my choice. This is who I want." And he's going to reveal it to the world. And that's the world, why the world doesn't like us. And that's why the devil doesn't like us. Because the devil's not his choice. He's fallen. He's chosen his destiny. But this is God's choice. So we are preserved for this, and that's why we occupy. We are working away until he comes, because we are his choice. What does he say in Isaiah? Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall be after me." Wow, what a verse, eh? Absolute sovereignty there. He says, "You are my witnesses. You reflect me to the world. because I've chosen you in which to do that. You're my servant, whom I have chosen. Wasn't your choice. I first chose you, that you may know and believe me. So he's chosen, preserved us, so that we can learn about him. We can believe upon him and understand that he says, I am God. I have never been formed. I was never created. I always have been. I always will be. And he said, there is no one else. And I've chosen you to have revelation in that and understanding. Hallelujah. That's why it says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life, you see. Are we beginning to understand now why God preserves? Because if he doesn't, nothing will survive. Did you know that we are preserved to hear his calling through the word? That is why we have the word. We stand on the word. We have the anointed word, because the word reveals to us we are preserved by that calling, by that responding to his word. Did you know that you are preserved for the throne of God? You are destined for God's throne as an overcomer. You're preserved. Did you know that you are preserved for eternity? That you should have a future life, and that your life should never, ever come to an end? Do you know that you are preserved to live throughout eternity? There will never be a time when you will be not. You always will be in heaven. There never will come an end. There will be no beginning, no end. You are preserved for that in the likeness of God. You are preserved to learn about the Lamb whom we follow in eternity, Jesus. We will ever be wherever he is in eternity. We will always continue to learn. We will always be in revelation, fresh manner. There will never be a moment where we will ever be without it. We are preserved for that. Now, don't we get blessed when we hear the word? When we hear things like this, Cor, don't you get quickened in the spirit? I do. Well, that will always be in eternity. You'll never be without it. Ever learning. You're preserved. Listen to this one. You are preserved in which to deal with sin and unbelief in your life. Isn't that amazing? What does it say in 1 John 19? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is God's preservation. And that's why we occupy until he comes. We're not sitting around moping at home. And we're certainly not going to be in heaven all sitting on a cloud playing the harp all day long. No way. Not at all. So God preserves us because he sees the unbelief, the areas of sin. He sees our downfalling. And he says, I'm preserving you, protecting you from yourself. Because often ourself is our worst enemy. And he's preserved us for that. Oh, it just goes on. It never ends. He's preserved us to see God work through all situations. He's preserved you to see God's hand working in your life, in your situation, with your family, with your children, with your marriage. The trials that you go through, the disappointments, the blessings, and so forth. He's preserved you so that you witness that, you experience that for his glory. I mean, I could just go on and on and on with this. I could preach sermon after sermon about the preservation of God. What does it say in Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3? The enemy doesn't like this. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, it shall not burn, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. And so it goes on. Here we are seeing the preservation of God. He says, whatever you go through, whatever your situation, no matter how deep the waters, how bad the fire is, it will not destroy you. He's using natural elements. There are elements in the natural we are afraid of. We are afraid of fire. We are afraid of water. Why? Because of the damage it can do. It can destroy. He uses those elements because he says, I preserve you from them. If there's going to be a fire, I will show you the exit. If there's going to be a flood, I'll provide the boat. That's what he's saying. And Noah and his family were preserved from the flood. We have countless illustrations from Genesis to Revelation where he preserves his remnant out of catastrophic situations. So why should we fear? This is what he says he will do. And finally, he's preserved us. And this is one of the most important preservations in the Bible. He's preserved us in Revelation 13 and verse 8. And here it is. Revelation 13 and verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. There you are. You are preserved to be written in the Lamb's book of life. That is the most important thing, because if your name is not there, you are not preserved. And that is what he's preserved us for. You know, as I close with this, I found this absolutely profound. As I was preparing this, you know, I learned all of this stuff years and years and years back in my teaching in theology, in Old Testament, New Testament. But when you come back to it again and you look at the notes and you go back over things, how much more you see than those early days, because God all the while is unfolding, he's revealing more and more. So that is why we occupy until he comes. None of us should be bored. None of us should think, well, I don't know what to do. What shall I do today? Or whatever it is, God has gone before and prepared the way. And all I do is walk it by faith, whatever glorifies his name, whoever I meet, or whatever it would be. So there we are, brothers and sisters. That is God's preservation over your life. You're going to praise and thank him for that, are you not? Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yet more of yourself. You've spoken to us, Lord. We thank you for your hand and preservation over our lives to give glory to your name. Father, forgive us when we doubt you or we allow fear and anxiety to get in. But even we're preserved in that in order that you deliver us. So, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep each one of us. May your face shine upon us. Be with us when we go out and when we come in. And, Lord, lead us to those who do not know Jesus, that we may boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise his name. Lord, I want to thank you for all you've ever done for me. Thank you, Lord. 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 I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for all you've ever done for me. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for all you've ever done for me. Many are the blessings that you give unto me. Blessings overflowing like a mighty sea. Lord, I
would valiantly against all disaster. Let him in constancy follow.